This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hi, I'm Kenny Omega, and you are listening to the New Japan PuroCast. You fools!
All right, everyone, welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan PuroCast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, Mr. Damon McDonald. We have got a show to review here today. It is the New Japan Cup Final, which took place on Saturday, March 12th. But before we get into that, Damon, I have one question for you, and that is, do you know Kushida?
Does American Airlines know Kushida? That's the biggest question. I do. I know who Kushida is. I chatted a little bit with him last night at Philadelphia's Ring of Honor show. I met a couple of our fine listeners. Listen, I always love it when you hear back from some good pals listening to the show. So Georgie C on Twitter, caught up with him. Good guy. We talked a little pro graps and he was heading. He's a dude that lives in Baltimore. Remember the guy who busted my stones because I said Townsend instead of Towson?
Yes, I do remember
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He was a good guy. And like I said, I like meeting people at these shows. It's always weird when people say they listen and they like the show and they're fans. So awesome. And again, talked a little bit to Kushida. Talked a little bit about podcasting. He's like, you listen to my show? And I was like, yeah. He goes, you understand Japanese? I was like, a little bit.
Did you tell him that you just like to listen to his voice?
I do. I love him. He's so lovable.
He is.
He really is. And what else do we do? Not only are we many people's favorite podcasts, lo and behold, the great Kenny Omega just sent us a little love. Earlier in the day, he mentioned he was no longer doing any podcast. I reminded Kenny about letting him get in butt in line in there when we went to Sam's Town and checked in and kind of got him to the front of the line. And he said he's going to make an exception. So maybe we have that in our future, a little Kenny Omega exclusive, as people like to throw around. So maybe we have that in the next couple of weeks. So that's hot off the presses here as we record on a late Sunday, Colin. Sunday for us. Jeez.
I know. And, you know, actually, technically, Kenny Omega has already been on this podcast, because if you listened to the intro to the show, and I hope you guys don't fast forward through the intro, because I've been sneaking in some surprises there. We've had some guest voices from the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling at the top of the hour here, and I believe that I put Tanahashi in there for the Kevin Kelly episode. If you haven't listened to that, definitely go check it out. Great interview with our buddy Kevin Kelly up there on our feed. And last week I stuck in Mr. Hiroki Goto. So yeah. And this week is Kenny Omega. So yeah, we got some cool little surprises coming up for you.
Some nice stuff. Listen, we're working hard for you guys, you know. We're trying to make it topical, too, with these intros, you know. Mr. Goto, who had a big spot in this New Japan Cup final, as we'll find out. And, before that, Hiroshi Tanahashi. And now this week, the little Kenny Omega plug. So we're doing well for you guys. We're doing well. We're trying hard. We're working hard for you. We're just a common man. We're working hard. How's it go? Is he working
He's
hard with his hands?
He's just a common man.
Yeah, sing it. Go, Colin. Let's go. Yeah.
That's all I know.
No, I'll do the cowbell. Come on. Boom, 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 boom. Hit it.
He's just a common man.
Go ahead. What does he do? He works hard with his hands. Come on.
Working hard with his hands.
Everybody's fucking X-ing out at this point. All right. Where are we? What do we got to cover here?
So look, we are going to be talking about this New Japan Cup final, which took place early Saturday morning, March 12th. Before we get into that, though, I just want to get your thoughts on the ROH TV tapings that you attended last night. What was the match of the night. I think I know what you're going to say, but fill me in.
I have no idea. I was drunk out of my mind. No, I was not drunk out of my mind.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I know. Listen, I don't get belligerent drunk, but I like a beer.
You get a bit tipsy.
I like a little, listen, I got a lot of stress in my life. I gotta get your buzz on. Yeah, I gotta work these nerves down a little bit. The question was best match. Well, look, I think there was a lot of good shit on this show. And again, real quick, we'll hit it. Young Bucks, Frankie Kazarian, and Christopher Daniels. Who else was in that goddamn match?
Motor City Machine Guns?
Yeah. I keep forgetting them. They seem very forgettable, don't they? I hate to say it. That was a fucking great match.
No, there was an IWGP Junior Heavyweight title match, correct?
Yeah. No, why would it be? Because there's no Matt Sydal or Ricochet. But Kushida, I'm talking about. What? Yeah, there was. Yeah, the IWGP Junior title was on the line. Kushida ACH.
That's what I asked.
I'm sorry. This show is off the rails already. We got you singing fucking Dusty Road songs and me not hearing what the hell you're saying. Yes, that was a good match. Very good match. Kushida did this spot where it was like a power slam from the top rope into a hoverboard that the place was like, what? Like their heads exploded. And then that maneuver was topped off with like literally one of the craziest moves I've ever seen in my life. So, you know how Young Bucks hit the Meltzer driver, right? So, you know, we got the one hitting the Tombstone pile driver and the other one, you know, doing the flip off the ropes, bouncing off the top rope, doing the flip, spike pile driver, right? We're all familiar with the Meltzer driver, right? Well, take out the flippy-do from one of the Young Bucks, but replace the flippy-do with a moonsault. So Daniels is on the top rope, ready to hit a moonsault in front of Kazarian, who's got, I forget who he had in there, but we'll just, you know, somebody, in the spike pile driver. Daniels does the moonsault and adds that. That's what adds the extra momentum to the stuff pile driver. It was ridiculous.
Wow. So this was like an indie taker, but with a moonsault.
No, it was like a Meltzer driver, but with a moonsault.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Fucking real, this maneuver. I've never seen anything like it. The first time I ever saw that, I even tweeted. I was like, and everybody, like, in this day and age, it is rare, especially at a Philly Ring of Honor show, where the crowd just, like, they didn't even make a sound. You felt the air escape the building, and then the place went berserk. It was like, what the fuck? It was a pretty fucking great that maneuver. The ACH Kushida match, great. That tag was the match was great. They brought out a broom and had him dressed up as Kenny Omega, and the broom was doing spots like they were like throwing the broom and people were selling it. It was kind of funny.
That's some DDT stuff right there.
Yeah, it was very what's the blow up that was named Yokohino.
I don't know.
It has a name. It's something like that. Yeah, it was like that. But here's the thing. Again, it's not usually my scene. I will never fucking criticize the Young Bucks, man. They just got their shit down, and it's good. And you know what it is? It's not even the same shit you see all the time. Yeah, they have their signature spots, but a lot of shit is just creative. And they just went balls to the wall, all three of those teams, and they were just doing crazy stuff. Just so much fun. And that, to me, that's... You don't get much better than that, you know. That's just if you're going to a pro wrestling show, that's what you want to see. To me, that's highly entertaining.
They're one of the greatest tag teams in the business right now. Period.
Yeah. I mean, you can't deny it. And that match was great. Again, ACH Kushida was great. Lethal and Sydal had a really sick table spot. It was a really brutal table shot, like a dive that kind of felt like it went wrong a little bit, but it was. It was deadly. The match was okay. I wasn't in love with it, but I thought it was good. Cheeseburger and the Briscoes against War Machine and Moose on paper doesn't sound all that tempting. This was a good fucking match. I really liked this match a lot. You know, some good comedy spots with the cheeseburger and the size differential between the monster tag team over on the other side. But no, it was a, you know what? If you want a hot take, to me, I liked this Ring of Honor show more than I liked the New Japan Cup finals.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, the Ring of Honor show was really good, dude. It was really, really good. And they always seem to put on really fun, hard-hitting, action-packed matches. You know, there wasn't a bad match on that Ring of Honor show. It really wasn't. I mean, maybe they had a six-woman tag. I mean, that was okay. You know, it was what it was. But everything else, it's really fucking good shit.
Well, I must tell you, I am a big fan of that Mandy Leon.
I know you are. And listen, there's nobody.
And Taylor Hendricks, she's.
Yeah, you were saying that Taylor Hendricks. I had a couple people tweet me. Who's that girl? And I was like, you talking about Taylor Hendricks, huh? Yeah, she's cute. I mean, all of them are. I mean, listen, they're all fantastic. And but yeah, the show itself was outstanding job. Outstanding job there, Ring of Honor once again. And again, I think it was better than the New Japan Cup finals that we saw this weekend as well.
I can believe that. And you know what? I have to say that the first night of the New Japan Cup was the best night. Would mm-hmm. you agree with that?
Yeah. You know, I don't want to say it lost some steam on the second night, but I think the second half of the show really fell off the cliff a little bit. The finals match was very good. We won't give away who exactly that was right now. We'll let you, you know, but listen, if you don't know by now, then you know it's Goto and Naito, which was a great match. The other stuff after intermission, there was some stuff that's easily skippable with guys that you kind of would think maybe you would want to stick around for. But the first half was good, but yeah, I think night one was much better than night two.
All right, so what do you say we get into it?
Let's do it.
Let's go from the bottom of the card to the top here. And again, this took place Saturday, March 12th from, and correct me if I'm pronouncing this wrong, Aomori, for any of our Japanese-speaking listeners. Please correct me if I'm pronouncing
I know one bald guy who's going to be tweeting us real quick.
Aomori. So this match this card started off with a Young Lions match with, boy, we haven't seen this one in a while, Damon.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah.
It's been a long time. David Finlay versus Jay White. And I was sitting here thinking to myself, man, we are running out of descriptions to talk about these Young Lion matches. But here's what I will say. This was a good match. Jay White has a beautiful drop kick. I just wanted to get that in there. Beautiful drop kick by Jay White. I thought
that's what you say to all the girls. A beautiful drop kick.
Oh, by the way, speaking of which, somebody I saw a banner for Jay White there, and the banner said Young Lion of Blue Eyes. And it had
like
the
me.
I know. I was thinking of you when I saw that, except for the New Zealand flag in the background. That didn't remind me of you at all.
Or young.
Yeah,
look, but here's the thing. Each time they trot out there, and here's the thing, fifth straight win for Jay White, right? Something's here. So I think this is the making. You have the potential to make this more than what it normally is with these usual Young Lions matches, right?
And I think it's going in that direction, too. Something's brewing here.
Possibly. I mean, I can't say definitely. You look back in history of Young Lions, it's rare that this will manifest itself into a blood feud. But it does, it is there for the taking. They absolutely could do this and make this a story to go along with these Young Lions working their matches out. Again, an aggressive David Finlay to start out. You kind of thought that just by the way they were working this with David Finlay getting them the majority of the offense in early that the handwriting was on the wall. And lo and behold, once again, Jay White wins with the
Lion tamer.
Yeah,
he's
more of a lion tamer than a Boston Crab. Yeah, he really cinches that dog in. Again, fifth straight for Jay White.
Yeah, David Finlay, like you said, he did have him in the Boston Crab, and it looked like for a second there that Jay White was tapping out, but he made it to the ropes, and Finley still hasn't figured out how to counter that deadly lion tamer from Jay White.
Yeah, I feel bad for him. I mean, either he's the worst wrestler in the world or he has no access to videotape. Jay White once again, fifth in a row. To me, that's kind of telling. I will say this about these shows, too. And tell me if you feel the same way, Colin Miller. This was a show that, as a whole, it really showed the importance of the juniors and the roles that they play on these shows. You know, on this, especially this one, this really screamed. Jay White and David Finlay arguably had maybe the second or third best match on the show.
Absolutely. I would put them in the top three.
And that screams to me, the role and the importance of a Kushida or a Roppongi Vice or Young Bucks or Red Dragon or Ricochet and Seidel or even an Omega, right? Those juniors, we hand wave them and eye roll them and it's like, this shit again. These guys are sorely missed on shows that they're not on. You know what I mean? When they're not on these shows, you miss them. There's something missing. And it's these guys. It's the element that they bring to the table. Again, the most talented, arguably the most talented group of juniors that this company has had in a long, long, long time. And their absence, you feel it. You feel it.
Yeah, I agree. And to kind of branch off with what you were saying, a lot of people have been speculating for a while now that 2016 is going to be a big year for the junior heavyweights. And some are even saying that we might be entering another golden age of junior heavyweights in New Japan. I mean, we've got a lot of junior heavyweights tournaments coming up. Of course, we've got Best of the Super Juniors. We've got the return of the Super J Cup. Will Ospreay is coming in, challenging Kushida for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title. So I think that we are going to see some amazing things in 2016 from these junior heavyweights. And quite frankly, I think that the majority, when we end 2016, I'm going to give you a hot take here. Well, I don't know if you would call it a hot take necessarily, but when 2016 is about to come to a close and it's December and we're doing the second annual PuroCast year end awards, I predict that over half of the matches for the best match category are going to feature junior heavyweights.
And I don't, they do it and do it on a consistent basis. I mean, look at last year. Last year you could have said the same in even years past. That's not a bad take, Colin. How about to add some spice when we talk about these juniors and what we expect in 2016?
Well, hey, I've got my array of seasonings out here on the table. I've got my paprika. I've got my oregano.
All right. Well, here's a little something extra that I was talking to some peoples. I was talking to some peoples on the streets.
Oh, on that street again.
Last night. Don't be surprised if you see a lot of those juniors and specifically young lion types that might be traveling abroad currently or might be earmarked to travel abroad, come to a town near you if you live on the East Coast.
So some juniors of the Young Lion persuasion may be showing up at the old ECW Arena.
Well, I mean, I can't definitely say it's going to be ECW Arena, but I think there's some good things around the bend. Kamaitachi, I think some Sho Tanaka, some Yohei Kamatsu, and even possibly one of those two gentlemen that we were talking about earlier might be making a voyage come this way real soon. So
Mr. Finley and Mr. White possibly cashing the ship to come
possibly
overseas.
Possibly again. I have talked to two people who have mentioned that, but. I haven't obviously talking. I've never talked. I never spoke to Mr. White or Mr. Finley in general or about the situation. But yeah, that's what I've heard. I definitely heard that there is a lot of scuttlebutt about that. So that would be very exciting if you know, even if we got half of those people, you know, just to see them live, I would be very excited. So fingers crossed. Nothing is signed, sealed, and delivered. But from what I understand, good things are coming our way when it comes to the East Coast.
By the way, do you know why David Finley refuses to give up in these matches with Jay White?
No, Colin, why?
Because his name is Finley and he loves to fight. I'm sorry.
Man, you really are weaving into the old school WWE/F references today, Colin.
I apologize for that.
That's all right. We'll let that one slide. All right, what's next here on this cup show?
Next here is a tag team match featuring Tiger Mask and Captain New Japan taking on Jushin Thunder Liger and Juice Robinson.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, this kind of harkens back to my point of, boy, there's a lot of talent that's not on this show. You know what was amazing is when I was sitting there watching this match and I saw Tiger Mask take off something and I couldn't quite make it out in the beginning of the match. But yet at the end of the match, seemed to me he was carrying a strap. And I was like, wait a minute. I almost completely forgot that Tiger Mask is the NWA Junior Heavyweight Champion.
When was the last time he defended that belt?
I think it was against Liger. Yeah, I think it wasn't it. Yeah.
Yeah, in December of 2015.
Yeah. And how about Big Juice getting the big win, a submission win over CNJ.
Yeah, so Juice Robinson, I'll tell you what, he did a nice diving headbutt in this match. Captain New Japan tried to steal one from him here, but Juice gave him the big leg lariat and applied that submission, which, what would you call that? He kind of had him in like a camel clutch position.
Yeah, a camel crutch is what I would call it. A camel crutch.
A camel crutch, there you go.
Let's call it a camel crutch, yes. Hashtag camel crutch. No, it was like a camel clutch and a cobra clutch, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was kind of weird, being that they feuded back in the 80s. it was kind of like a camel clutch and a cobra clutch combo. Getting the tap on Captain New Japan. Look, the match was... you know, it wasn't tremendous.
Well, what did you expect?
Not a lot.
I think that we got more out of this than you would have expected from reading it on paper.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like I said, it sets up that underneath little, it gives Liger and Tiger Mask once again something to do. Trade off this belt, this NWA Junior belt. By all means, knock yourselves out, kids. Go get them. But that's what it looks like that sets up and gives them something to do in the spring.
By the way, did you notice at the end of this match that Liger's music bled through there a little bit for a few seconds?
Yeah, the Nintendo 8-bit version.
And then somebody was in the back was like, oh, shit, quick, press the button.
Put the button.
Pipe the music in.
It's feeding through. We're going to get sued.
We're losing money here.
Right. Right. Hey, speaking of losing money, you tell me, but I'm looking at this crowd at this show. Didn't look like those upper level seats were filled at all.
I thought you were gonna talk about when we were playing the slots in Vegas.
Made $5, buddy.
Yeah, I did.
It didn't look like this building was filled.
No,
I mean the floor seats looked filled, but that second balcony, really, there's only one balcony. The one balcony. Didn't look there. Every time I saw a shot, I saw seats and without bodies filling them. Did the arena look extra dark? Like it was kind of like they were Bill Watching it, you know?
Yes, it did. As a matter of fact,
you know, they were just pumping the one spotlight on the ring and hopefully nobody else will notice the empty seats. But yeah,
and this was a bigger sized venue too.
I don't know. I truth be told, I don't know how many seats it is. I don't know what the capacity is or what it is for wrestling, and you know, with the stage set up and everything. So I don't know that, but it didn't look like it was a full house for sure.
It says that the crowd, the capacity was 2,919.
That was the announced?
According to the New Japan Pro Wrestling official English website.
Okay. So, I mean, I don't know what it holds for wrestling.
If I had to guess, from looking at that venue, I would have guessed 5,000.
Yeah, that's. I would go like 4 or 5. Yeah, I'm thinking I think it's a number I would be comfortable with. So I don't know. Like I said, when I looked at the crowd, it looked that balcony area looked a little sparse, to say the least.
So the next match was another tag team match featuring the team of Evil and Bushi, two-thirds of Los Ingobernables de Japón, taking on Tomohiro Ishii and Yoshihashi. I thought that this was a good match, especially when Evil and Ishii were in the ring, and there was one spot in particular towards the end that I thought was really innovative. I believe what happened was Evil Irish whipped Yoshihashi into Ibushi, who then did a code breaker, and then Evil delivered a German suplex. So it was like a code breaker into a German.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody's taking good notes. Look at you. a couple things that I have for this match. One, first of all, Evil, the lasers. It's been reduced to one fucking handheld laser pointer.
Yeah, I noticed that. It's not even a claw anymore. It's just a laser pointer.
It's one. He's holding a stick in his hand, pointing at the crowd. And I'm thinking to myself, for fuck's sake, let's stop the lasers.
I used to use one of them when I taught classes. I'd have a laser pointer.
Yeah, exactly. Right, and this chart here shows growth of the fiscal quarter. and how are lasers evil? How is a single laser being pointed evil?
Green lasers are very evil.
Yeah, Damn. Yeah. Okay. Well, it like I said, it's been reduced to one single laser pointer at this point. You know what else I've noticed too, and this is kind of harkens back to our little Ring of Honor open. There hasn't been much mention of Jay Lethal being in Los Ingobernables.
No, it was almost like he joined for one night.
It really was. It was a, you know, he's just going to dabble in kissing girls. you know, it's just an experimenting. He's experimenting with Los Ingobernables. He's experimenting with Japanese who are trying to be Mexican. I see the Los Ingobernables de Japón. Am I close?
You are correct. Very
All
good.
Right. Thank you, buddy. And I see the t-shirt with the, you know, Japan, England, USA, and yeah.
Maybe an Englishman will join in the future.
Listen, you never know. And Mexico. So I just thought, you know, that USA contingent, you know, you haven't really heard anything. They didn't mention anything of it last night. So I don't know if they did on commentary or not, but it's like it never happened. Listen, I like this. You know who else I thought did a really good job, Colin Miller?
Who was that?
Yoshihashi.
We were talking about this last week. He is having a very good year. He's really stepping up his game. And Damon, do you think that part of the reason Yoshihashi has had such a good year is because Nakamura maybe lit a little fire under his ass that caused a loose explosion? And
I know I stepped all over your joke there, Colin. My apologies on that one. The loose explosion. Listen, I had my eyes wide open, Naito style, to pay attention to Yoshihashi, and I think he did really well in this match. Listen, it's March. I get it, but he's gotta if there were awards ceremonies. He's got to be in that most improved category. I really think so. He's having a fucking, again, not a wrestler of the year type year. He's having a real good fucking year.
Now I know that this is probably pointless to talk about, but can we talk about how dumb this referee is here for a moment?
Geez, please, by all means, because I have the note here. Mist is just as legal as a hip toss, because the referees are fucking made to look like boobs.
Here's what I think.
Made to look like boobs.
I think that the referee, after Bushi sprayed his mist at Tomohiro Ishii, the ref looked at him and thought, well, I guess he's just turned into the Incredible Hulk.
He's covered from head to toe, Colin.
He's pulling a Bruce Banner.
he's covered head to toe. Again, with the fucking mist. It is... trust me, if I'm the referee, And again, this is pro wrestling, mind you. So, you know, the referees are made in many cases to look incompetent. And as I said earlier, a boob. But if I'm going back there, I would be like, can you motherfuckers kind of do this in a way so that I don't look like a total imbecile? Jesus Christ. Enough with the fucking mist. I hate it at this point. Fucking hate it. Can we also mention one thing? And by all means, if I'm completely out of my mind, let me know.
Well, you are completely out of your mind, but go on.
We know this. But in this particular instance, if I'm out of line, by all means, is it an absolute stretch for us to talk about Tomohiro Ishii as Wrestler of the Year?
No, not at all.
I don't think it is. Now, again, I understand that Wrestler of the Year, there are plenty of other components to it besides in-ring work. So maybe the question is, like Worker of the Year, or, you know, whatever Meltzer calls it, but, you know.
Yeah, Worker of the Year sounds good.
When he is in the ring, the quality of the match and my interest, and I think everybody else's interest skyrockets. He really hasn't had a bad match this year. He really hasn't.
He hasn't.
Now, people can point to that three-way at Ring of Honor, right? And I thought it was better than most people thought that watching it on TV. I thought, and I think we both agree that seeing it live was much better than seeing it on TV.
Oh, sure, you can't compare. And plus, it was a pretty short match. I think it was only around 8 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. Even the Roddy Strong one, I think people might, you know, grade that one a little bit lower, the one at Corkin. But I still enjoyed it. I thought it was good, but the chemistry, somewhat questionable.
Took a while to get into.
He's had a fucking fantastic year. He's consistently had a good fucking year. And I thought this match, by and large, was Ishii evil. When they were in the ring, things really picked up and my interest skyrocketed. And I cannot fucking wait for a singles match between Evil and Ishii. I think that is fantastic. Over, of all things, who would have thought this at the beginning of the year? A Ring of Honor TV title.
Yeah, if I would have said to you at the end of last year that Ishii and Evil were going to be feuding over the ROH World Television title, you would have said, Colin, you're crazy. But yeah. That is what looks like is going to happen. So, yeah, like I said, Bushi sprays the mist. Evil hits his finish on Ishii and lays down the challenge after the match for the ROH TV title. So I am very much looking forward to this match. Just two big bulls just going at it. This is going to be good stuff.
No doubt. No doubt. And hopefully it'll be at Invasion Attack, and we'll get to see that real soon. But Evil stepping up in a big way, getting a big win once again. Again, if we could do it at that fucking mist, I'd be thrilled.
So our next match was the first New Japan Cup semifinal match of the evening. And this was Naito versus Yano. And Yano pulled out every trick in the book here. But alas, Naito hits the low blow, kicks him right in the family jewels, rolls him up with the jackknife pin, and advances to the New Japan Cup final.
I'm going to share something with you here, Miller. I loved this match. I fucking loved this match.
Look, I didn't expect that. Wow.
I loved it. And here's the thing. You knew that this match wasn't going to go long, right? So one of these two are going to have to work, you know, a second match. So they're going to keep it short and sweet. And both these first, you know, these semifinal matches, you knew they were going to be cut short because, again, somebody in that ring's got to work twice and carry the show in the main event. So, okay. So I had no problem with it being short. It was a sprint. And there were a few times where even I'm thinking to myself, holy shit, Yano's going to win this. Yeah, right. Because we've seen it a million times, and that's another goddamn thing that they do so well is they set you up for all these near falls and false finishes. Because all throughout the year, and all throughout, you know, this guy's recent career, you see instances where he's getting big wins over big stars in this cheap ball shot, roll up, hair pull, 1-2-3 way. So, you know, again, everybody's sitting here thinking, holy shit, this could possibly fucking happen. And there were at least two times where physically I'm out of my seat. Like, holy shit, Naito's going to lose this fucking thing. That's called great booking, great planning, and great execution of that plan. Well fucking done, Yano. Well fucking done, Naito. And well fucking done, New Japan. Because guess what? You had me a couple times, and that's what that was the end goal. That was the end goal, was to get people invested and emotionally invested in, holy shit, this could possibly fucking happen. Because on paper, you would think, there's no fucking way this is happening. Yet, they found a way to, whoops, dangle the carrot, and you went for it. And I went for it. And that's what makes pro wrestling great.
Back when we were doing the show during the G125, you would say every week, it's that old sports philosophy of anything could happen. And that was the case with this match. So Naito is disrobing in the ring and Yano's music hits, and he books down to the ring and just starts beating him with the steel chair. And like I said, he pulled out every trick in his arsenal. But alas, he could not overcome the El Ingobernable Tetsuya Naito.
Let me tell you something. That was, and I'm glad that you brought that up. That even the opening, you know, Yano playing it smart, so to speak, and saying he's going to take advantage of, you know, lazy Naito, and you know his shenanigans getting to the ring and his slow pace and all. He's balls to the wall. He's going right on in. He's got a chair and he's going to beat some ass and he's going to get the quick win. He's going to get it right out of the gate. You know. I loved it. I love this match. It was a sprint. It was fast. It was furious. Plenty of near falls. Ah, totally in. Well done. Let's put it this way. Couldn't have asked for anything better. Couldn't have asked for anything better from a Yano Naito match on paper. Perfect. Perfection.
I agree. And our next New Japan Cup semifinal match, our last one here, Michael Elgin versus Hirooki Goto. Now, Damon, throughout the history of this show, we have had many nicknames for Goto, many sayings. You know, is Goto going to get his groove back? Chief J Goto. I'm going to add another nickname here to his arsenal.
I'm sure he's going to be thrilled with this.
Goto is now Wacky Roll-Up Guy.
I even have that in my notes column. He's getting his wins in a very similar style, right? The tie up or the roll up. Yeah, absolutely. Good point. Yeah. And especially in this match as well. This match.
Very good. I'm not going to say it was great.
Yeah.
But it was very good. Elgin did all of his strongman spots which the crowd is, you know, just loves. They love to get behind Elgin when he's doing all these great suplex spots. There was one in particular, my favorite part of the match was when he did the two German suplexes and then Goto kind of goes to the ropes to try and hold on, and then he does a tiger suplex. I really thought that was great,
right? And the hands, he's going for the ropes. And Elgin is, you know, knocking his hands off the ropes, and he goes with the other hand. He does the same thing. Boom, locks both arms. Whoop, off for a ride we go. Yep, I have that noted as well. You know what's this match was eerily similar to?
What's that?
The same fucking match that they had at G1. This is this match was a carbon copy of that.
Did they do the same German suplex spot?
Yeah, they did the spot where they're on the apron and they're kind of exchanging elbows. Because here's a funny story. Back at G1, before this match, I'm communicating with Mike, and I'm like, listen, here's where I'm sitting, because I was sending him photos the whole time, right? You know, each of his matches. And I'm like, listen, here's where I'm sitting. I'm sitting in these awful orange seats, but it's the hard camera side. So make sure you get your shit in on this side so I can take some good pictures of it. And he's like, okay, cool. So he brawls, you know, they're doing like the forearm exchanges right on the apron. And then they do a spot, I'm going to say like a back suplex or a side suplex on the side of the apron. So they're doing all their shit. So I can say literally the reason why they're doing all their shit, besides it being the hard camera, was because I was sitting right there and I was taking pictures and Mike wanted to get his shit in on that side.
This is all for you, Damon. Yeah, it's all for you.
It is all for me. But as I was watching this match, I was like, oh, that's the same spot. Oh, that's the same spot. Oh, that's the same spot. Go back and watch that G1 match.
I need to now.
Yeah, it's going to be very similar.
I only watched it once, so.
Yeah, Yeah, if you go back and watch that, there's a lot of similarities. And again, same guys working together, why not? But yeah, as I was watching that, I'm kind of recollecting the Cork and Hall Goto match, and it was very, very much, very similar. I thought the Cork and Hall one was a little bit better than this, but I thought this was a good match.
Oh, you're biased.
Well, listen, being there, maybe, yes, but I still think that match was a better match. I think go back and watch it and compare. I mean, don't let me cloud your judgment. Judge for yourself.
All right, so Goto picks up the win here and advances to the finals against Naito. And
a lot of people disappointed, right? A lot of people were looking for a big Mike win there and to go on and maybe even win this cup.
Look, that's the thing. I posed the question on our Twitter account. Who do you think is going to win this tournament? What belt are they going to challenge for? And the majority of our listeners said that it was going to be Big Mike winning, challenging for the IC belt, going after Omega.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean... again, my predictions were not in that same world. As a matter of fact, let it be known, I think it was 100%, right?
Yeah.
This went exactly as I predicted, right? Right? People listen to me, right? don't worry. Mike's going to be fine in 2016. Don't you worry about Mike.
All right, so the next match was a tag team match featuring the team of Tenkozy taking on Katsuyori Shibata and Taguchi. Damon, we saw some Mongolian ass chops in this match.
They sound delicious.
I thought you'd like that.
I really did. You know what I got my hands on recently, Colin? Some Mongolian ass chops. she was beautiful. No, silly. I got a hold of... a shit ton, and I mean a metric shit ton, from my basement of videotapes, and I'm dubbing these finally, it's 2016, dubbing these videotapes to digital, right, so I can have them on a hard drive, and I finished up complete runs of 1982 New Japan, so every, their TV show when they had their hour show, every show, 82, 84, 88, I think 87 I finished, but I'm sitting here staring at like a pile of fucking videotapes and DVDs and just craziness. My point being is this, Shiro Koshinaka, was a junior back in the day who did a lot of, oddly enough, and it kind of jarred my mind, be like, oh yeah, I remember that, a lot of ass-based offense, right? That Taguchi does currently. Now, his was in a little bit more of a serious tone than Taguchi, but I just thought I'd bring that up, that the ass-based offense, it's not something that's entirely brand new with Taguchi.
Not something that Taguchi invented.
No, unfortunately not. Unfortunately, the ass-based offense is not. But as I'm watching some of this stuff, this older stuff, I'm like, okay, so this is... I do remember this, and... yeah, but it's definitely not. My point being is, I don't know. I just saw ass-based offense a lot this week. There's been plenty of ass-based offense I've seen this week. Not just the in pro wrestling, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink. Here's what we got to take away from this match, Colin. Kojima.
Yeah,
Kojima laying out Shibata.
Look, good stuff in this match, actually, between Shibata and Kojima. For the finish, we saw Kojima hit a big lariato on Taguchi to pick up the win for his team.
Right.
And so Kojima starts to cut a promo after this match, and Shibata immediately goes for the attack. Big boot to the mush. But Kojima gets the upper hand and finishes him off with a lariato. So it looks like we're going to see a Kojima versus Shibata match for the never openweight title.
That's not bad. You know what? That's not bad. I'll take that. Listen, if you're going to give me any one of the elder statesmen to be in that spot, I mean, I'll take him over Nakanishi, and I'll take him over
Tenzan.
Tenzan. I'd probably take him over Nagata.
Yeah,
right?
I would too, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and Shibata and Kojima were kind of doing this all match, right? So Shibata was constantly, you know, trying to get in that extra shot. You know, even when Kojima was standing on the apron, they would kind of tie up and, you know, kick each other in the face. So, no, I mean, I'm happy with this. It's okay. This is a good program. I think Kojima could still go of those guys. It kind of reminds me of how you know, back about a year ago, maybe a little bit more than a year ago, with Nagata and his swan song with Nakamura. This might be it. This might be Kojima's kind of, I don't want to say swan song, but you know, last significant moment in a singles career that he's going to have. So I think it's going to be good. I think Shibata has a renewed fire and vigor about him, and he's absolutely one of the more entertaining guys in New Japan Pro Wrestling. So no, I think this is going to be a fantastic match. I'm sure Kojima has something to prove, that he still has some more in the tank. I'm all in. Let's do this.
So the next tag team match featured the team of Yuji Nagata and Manabu Nakanishi taking on Kazuchika Okada and Sakuraba.
Yeah.
Damon, what can we say about this match?
Let me tell you exactly what I'll tell you about this fucking match. So I'm watching this show, and you know how, like, you just kind of like, okay, you're kind of counting off in your head, okay, I got three more matches, and sometimes, you know, they're a bit of a struggle or what have you, and you're kind of like, okay, you know, I got three more matches, then I'll be all right, or two more matches, and then, you know, we'll be done, I can get all my fucking life. And then this match, like, you see Nagata and Nakanishi rolling out, and I'm like, literally the words out of my mouth were, Jesus fucking Christ. I'm like, I thought, like, I completely forgot about this match. And apparently so did they, because this match stunk.
I will say this, though. Sakuraba did a nice plancha to the outside onto Nagata. Well, you know, you don't see him do that very often.
All right,
I'll give him some credit for that.
Fantastic.
Come on, Damon. He's putting his life on the line for your entertainment.
Listen. Sakuraba hasn't put – the last time he put his life on the line was right before the fucking Dome show when he got 97 punches to the face.
He almost lost his life.
He certainly did. This match, I got to be honest with you. From the minute – like the minute I saw Yuji Nagata, I was like, all right, I'm really not into this. I'm tapping out mentally.
Doesn't that music, when it hits, doesn't it just give you diarrhea instantly? Like, you hear that?
Wow. Dun, 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 dun. And I don't mind Yuji Nagata all that much. Here's the thing. This was the last thing I wanted to see. The closest thing I can remember is like going to one of those Ring of Honor New Japan shows in Philly, and it was like a marathon. It was like 4 fucking hours long, and everybody in the building is just waiting for like the main event. I think it was Okada we were waiting for. It might have been Nakamura, but it might have been Okada. But we were waiting for, you know, the main event of the fucking show. And who the fuck came out? Like some dweeb. And we're just like, geez. Like, I couldn't even tell you. But it was just like, you could hear the whole place just groan. Like, what the fuck? Right? We just want to see the main event. That's exactly how I felt. I'm not even going to be fair and tell you this match was great.
I want a star rating from you, Damon.
I can't give it because I didn't watch it. like it was on my TV, and I was just so thoroughly disgusted that the fact that it was on my TV at the time, I was just like, fuck this. Ugh. And then I got on my phone, and I was just kind of looking around and staring at and figuring out life's complexities. And then the next thing you know, there was a rainmaker, and it was 1-2-3. So there you go.
Yeah.
Listen, if you never watch this match, you're not missing a goddamn thing.
I'm going to give this match 2 stars.
Yeah, you're going 2, huh?
Yep, I'm going 2 stars. Okay. Okada hits the Rainmaker on Nakanishi to pick up the win. Mm. And yeah, we've seen this 100 times before.
Fuck this match.
Finally, the match before the main event, our last tag match of the evening, featured the team of Hiroshi Tanahashi, Tomoaki Honma, and Togi Makabe taking on the Bullet Club, Tama Tonga, Yujiro Takahashi, and Bad Luck Fale. You know what? I thought that this was a decent match. One spot I did like was when Honma goes for that top rope Kokeshi, and then Tama Tonga catches him in the gun stun. Then he hits his DDT finisher to pick up the win. I thought that was pretty innovative.
It was a sloppy gun stun. It looked like Han. I always feel like I'm mispronouncing his name.
Honma.
Honma. What do I say? Hanma.
You
right?
Say Hamna.
Hamna.
Hamna. Hamna. Hamna.
I do. I do.
Like Jackie
Gleason. Give me one more time.
Honma.
Honma.
Tomoaki Honma.
Alright. I'll get it right one day. Now I'm so fucking conscious of it.
Our buddy on Twitter is gonna be
Now I'm just gonna get buried. Why not? I'm a dope. Anyway, like he landed right on his face. Like his face hit his like Tonga. I can't say anybody's name right.
Tama Tonga.
Tama Tonga's shin, and it looked like he splattered it. It took me 15 minutes to make one point that was really irrelevant. Mystery partner, mystery Bullet Club member.
Yeah, Tama Tonga cuts a promo at the end, says that he is bringing in his brother, and they're coming after the IWGP tag titles.
Yeah, I told you that last week. Kamachu, right? Kamachu. How do you pronounce his name? WWE, he was in WWE, TNA. Kamachu, is it?
Yeah. Well, he had different names in WWE and TNA.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what they're going to call him in New Japan, but...
Listen, I don't think they're going to call him much, to be quite frank. I don't think he's anything special at all. At all.
Are we going
to
see some flying Usos, Damon?
You got that right, Michael. That was a terrible JBL imitation. I was almost a British accent of my JBL. I tried to do a JBL. It stunk.
Hey, it happens.
I don't do good impressions. That's for certain. Tonga gets the win, right? Mystery partner. I'm not thrilled. Can we officially say the Bullet Club is, has reached like Virgil NWA or NWO levels, right?
I believe that he was Vincent in the NWO.
My bad. I don't want any copyright infringement issues. Yeah,
you know what? I've got to say, I think that would you say that the Elite is almost separate, are they separate now?
I think that they even feel that this has gone out to pasture, and they're over this Bullet Club thing. So yeah, the Elite I kind of consider the Elite something different. And if you look on these shows, you really don't see a lot of interaction. Maybe from Cody Hall. Where's Cody Hall?
Where is Cody Hall? That's a good question.
Where's Cody Didn't Hall?
Make this
all
show.
This? No, where's all Cody Hall and all the shenanigans?
Where's Yellow Barbie and all these shenanigans?
I'll tell you, listen. He's not even getting anybody coming out with him anymore. That's what they think of him. He's not even worthy of the 5 yen invested to bring out one of these.
Where's Muffin Ass?
So got better things to do than to come out with his sorry ass. Bullet Club. Yeah, I think we're. I think. Well, listen, I think you could have said that. 6 months ago, but I think the time has come to put that out to pasture.
So finally, we arrive at the main event of the evening, the New Japan Cup final, Tetsuya Naito versus Hirooki Goto. Damon, I thought that this was a very good match. However, I felt like there was something missing just for me personally. That didn't put it over that edge into the great category.
Let me tell you what I think that is, because I feel similar. It was a good match. Good match, right? Two guys in that ring, they're capable of having great matches. This was a good match, and good matches are good. Here's what I think the problem is, Colin, and I'm curious to get some feedback from our listeners as well as you. For me, and I think for most Western fans of New Japan, this idea of Goto kind of going through his little depression and his cleansing and him looking to be reborn, if you will, it's not working. And it didn't work. And I think the big interest in our eyes was, is Goto going to wind up with Chaos, right? Is he going to side with Okada and somehow join that faction? That was really the interesting takeaway from this whole journey that Goto was on. The depression thing and the sad thing. Because here's the thing. Goto is not a sympathetic character, right? It's hard for me to feel compassion for a guy of Goto's stature, right? Is he having a rough patch? Is he, he never seems to be able to get the big win? Okay, but, there's plenty of guys who can't get the big win. There's only so many champions in the world, And there's a certain point, and again, maybe this is Western mentality, but, there's a certain point where I'm just like, all right, tough shit, Goto. You're just not that good enough, right? That's really the bottom fucking line. And you're just like every other pro wrestler except a handful who are world champion. And I say that with the full knowledge that the guy had an entire summer with the second biggest belt in the company. So he's not that much of a fucking loser. He's having a bit of a rough patch, when it comes to wins and losses and the big game. But, you know, it is what it is. Well,
think about it. Think about it. Hiroki Goto beat Shinsuke Nakamura two times in a row, and he beat the IWGP Heavyweight Champion, Kazuchika Okada, in the G1 Climax. Think about that. So two victories over Nakamura, one victory over the champion. So he's no slouch.
Yeah, it's you know, it's not like he's never winning. He's all, you know, he's had plenty of wins. So for me, to have this sympathetic character that I'm supposed to rally behind and see him through to get this big win, gotta be honest with you, I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit. And I think that the majority of the people that listen to this show feel similar, right? The interest was, hey, is Goto going to join Chaos, right? That's where we kind of wanted this ride to go, whether he was joining or not, and the story that led to that. But for the sympathy and giving a fuck about depressed Goto, I don't. And again, maybe that resonates more with a Japanese audience. Don't know. For the Western audience, I don't think many people gave a fuck.
Here's my question: what happened to the Shibata Goto feud that we thought we were going to see? The main tag feud.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, the cards have been laid out for something like that. That could definitely possibly happen. I mean, after this show, though, and what happened after the match at the finish might put that on pause for a couple of months or so. But even then, you know, it's kind of hard to get the sympathy and the fighting spirit that they were trying to get. It doesn't play very well with Western fans, and especially speaking for me, you know, I am the voice of the North American audience, mind you. But
no, we both are.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I don't think I'm that far off point with that. So I'd be curious to hear what people think. Did this angle connect with you as Goto being the sympathetic character of trying to get his, as we like to say, get his groove back?
I'm going to say something that you might disagree with, or maybe you will. Maybe you'll agree with it, but I think that Goto's loss to Nakamura getting that IC title back, I think that it hurt Goto.
In the fans' eyes?
Yeah, I really do think that it hurt him.
Yeah, I mean,
there's no point in beating a dead horse now because Nakamura is gone, but he had nothing to gain from getting that IC title back, and look what happened in the end. Anyway, he had to forfeit it.
Well, right, but also, you know, you know why? I mean, they didn't feel that Goto was a guy that could carry that house against Anderson. They needed Nakamura to win that belt because, you know, truth be told, you know, they needed a house.
Damon, all we are saying is give Goto a chance. Well, have you ever heard that song?
No, not that version. Maybe that's a 12-inch dance mix that I missed. But here's the thing. It's not like he hasn't had chances. Goto has had plenty of chances. He really has. He has. This is not like Goto being buried or by any stretch of the imagination.
No, I'm not saying that. But do you think that he had that IC title stripped off of him because he wasn't drawing a house?
For the show against Carl Anderson, they need it. Do you think Goto and Carl Anderson?
No, I don't.
No,
I'll answer that question right off the bat. No,
right. I mean, and they knew it too. They knew it. They had to put Nakamura. And here's the thing: you're not going to have Goto. What do you have? Goto AJ Styles at the Dome.
Hey, it wouldn't be a bad match.
Come on. Right? You're not going to have that. You had to make that switch. Why? Because he's not the guy. That's okay. Not many people are the fucking guy to make that happen. It's okay. Stop. Here's the one thing. You know, we talk about how, you know, our perception of who are stars in New Japan and how the company is booking for a Japanese audience. To me, like a Hiroki Goto is a guy that New Japan, I don't want to say shoehorns in as being a top star. And again, I can't speak for a Japanese audience because I'm not Japanese, but I don't live in a country. But to me, it feels like he's one of those. He's like a Randy Orton.
You took the words right out of my mouth, actually. That is exactly who I was going to compare him to. He is like a Randy Orton.
Right, where the company constantly and consistently tells you how big of a fucking star he is, he's really not. And Goto feels that same way to me, where New Japan constantly and consistently puts him in big spots, he's not really that guy.
Let me tell you something, Damon. If I was going to design a sports entertainer from the ground up, he'd look like Hiroki Goto.
Oh, Maggle. That was pretty good, right? That was a good JBL, right?
That was a good one. Better. You're getting better.
But, you know, at the end of the day, and when the wash is done and folded, here's what it is. The company didn't even feel that way. And the company still doesn't feel that way. You know, he's an upper mid-card guy.
He's the gatekeeper.
Okay. He really is. Once again, he is Chief J. Goto. Or what is something? The King of Strongbow Style?
Yes, King of Strongbow Style, and now Wacky Roll-Up Guy.
And Wacky Roll-Up Guy. So all those. But then again, here we go at the end of the match. Well, I mean,
let's talk about the match a little bit, because we did see a lot of cool stuff in here. I love the spot where Goto reverses Naito's Destino into the Ushikaroshi. We also saw a top rope Ushikaroshi that looked pretty brutal. And how about Naito kicking out of Goto's Shouten Kai?
Yeah, so there were a lot of big moves Goto kind of saved. You know, we talked about roll-up Goto, and that's really cool that they were doing these wins in this fashion. And then he pulls out the big guns, right, his usual big finishing moves, even top rope, you know, big, you know, super-duper versions of these moves to try to knock off Naito. I like the fact that they went back into those you know, the burning hammer kind of moves to, I need to put these motherfuckers away.
Oh, by the way, as soon as I saw Naito make his entrance and who was behind him but Bushi, I said, oh, son of a bitch, here we go. But I'll tell you what, the interference that was in this match, I think that it was limited and it didn't take away from the quality of the match. It didn't deteriorate the match quality. We eventually did see Evil and Bushi get involved. Goto gives the Ushikaroshi to Evil, knocks Bushi off the apron, and then we saw Naito hit his Destino finish out of Goto's Shouten Kai. So Goto goes for his finish, Naito reverses it into the Destino and gets the 1-2-3.
Yeah, you mentioned the interference, and a lot of the interference happened within the first 5 to 8 minutes of this match. And yeah, it could have gone off the rails. Very quickly. I'm not a huge fan of the interference. We all know that. But I think in this particular case, this did kind of help tell the story of Goto, you know, fighting off and really trying to overcome the insurmountable odds of Bushi outside and Naito in the ring. But
it did. And by the way, just let me correct myself there for a second. I was jumping ahead of myself, ladies and gentlemen. Goto actually did kick out of the Destino. We saw Naito then hit a beautiful dragon suplex,
right,
and then he hit the Destino, and that is when he got the pinfall. Then Evil comes in, pushes Goto out of the ring like he's a piece of garbage, Damon, like he's trash, just pushes him out of the ring, and then Naito gets on the horn and says that he's challenging Okada for the IWGP heavyweight title, and Okada comes out and extends his hand once again to our buddy Hiroki Goto. And what do you have it? Goto finally accepts the offer to join Chaos. So I guess there is a silver lining in this black cloud for Goto.
Right. So Goto gets the beat down, right? So, you know, Naito gets on the mic and he's doing his post-match celebration and all that fun stuff while they drag, you know, Goto's carcass back into the ring. And they start laying the boots to him. And then here comes Okada to make the save.
Our savior.
Yeah.
The Rainmaker.
So, just as you explained, here comes Okada with the extended hand once again. Goto ponders. He turns away for one moment and then comes back with the hearty handshake. So, you know, it wasn't quite mega powers.
A Laurel and Hardy handshake.
Well, very good. It wasn't quite Hogan Savage.
No.
But
what is really in life?
Good point. And again, I don't know if this is an official Chaos joining, right? I don't know if he's officially a member or what have you, or where this leads or where this goes. But I will say this. I think it's a safe guesstimate to say that, you know, Goto's involvement in this potential world title match between Naito and Okada, I think you got to keep your eyes on Goto through this. Go either way. Maybe Goto helps screw over Naito, you know, to kind of get revenge on what happened here tonight. Or possibly this might be a gigantic swerve or do. Maybe, just maybe, Goto joins in Ago Bernables.
Ghetto called in Vince Russo to be the guest booker for Invasion Attack. We're going to see a swerve, bro.
We're going to see a swerve, bro. Please, that's just me speculating. That's nothing that has been whispered in my ear.
No, I don't think that that's out of reach, though. You know, I don't think you're reaching for.
No, I think and I think that this you know, it lends itself to a couple different directions, and that's where the curiosity for fans like us, you know, where is this going to go? Does he in fact join Chaos and help Okada maybe get a win? Squeak out a win, possibly, that kind of sets the stage for an Osaka rematch, possibly. Or again, Naito winning the belt, maybe with help from Goto. You know, a lot of different ways it can go. So that's, to me, that's where they hit the ball out of the park with this whole run with Goto is, you know, where does it go? Not necessarily the emotional attachment and him overcoming his demons. This is more of, okay, so is he joining the faction of Chaos? Is he not joining? And how does this play out? Or maybe, you know, like I said, this is all one big Ronda. And he winds up with a baseball cap on his head, Los Ingobernables style.
So that was your New Japan Cup 2016 final, ladies and gentlemen. Damon, let me ask you a question. I want out of these three shows, let's do a little ranking here. You know, we had the March 3rd show, the March 4th show from Korakuen, and then this final from this past Saturday. I want you to rank them 1 to 3, best to least favorite. I'll go first, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
I am going to give the March 3rd show the number one slot. I think that was the best one. That was a great show with a capital G. I'm going to put this... Actually, you know what? I think I'm going to put the Korakuen show in number 2, and I'm going to put this one in number 3.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it goes right in sequential order.
Yeah.
I think the first night, for me personally, that one felt, again, we talked about this a few weeks ago, that one really felt like a clean slate. Let me take that back. Maybe not a clean slate, but it felt like
a new beginning.
A new beginning with guys beginning their ascension. And to me, that was really enjoyable. I think the matches were great. I love the sprint and the style and the pacing of all of it. Second night, similar. Again, a notch below. We talked about that last week. But the Ishii Naito match was, what a match that fucking was. Do you think that was the best match of the three?
Oh yeah, by far. Ishii, yeah. Naito, and I'll tell you what, that right now is probably in my top 5 matches of the year in New Japan thus far.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I
was into it.
I can't. It's got to be in the conversation, right? I mean, you figure you got your dome. I mean, that's the problem. There's so much good shit on that dome. That's hard to squeeze shit out of the top 5.
I'm telling you right now that on for this year's end of year awards, there are going to be 3 matches from the dome show on there.
Yeah, there really are.
I think you know which ones I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, it's the last 3, and then where do you put the other 2? Like so far in the top 5, you know. Listen, you could absolutely without question talk about this Ishii Naito match. That can absolutely be in the conversation. I mean, even the follow up though with Shibata and Ishii, right?
Yeah, that was another great match.
Yeah, I mean, listen, New Japan's on a great run. It's March 13th.
It's March Madness.
It's March 13th, and you know, we've got, you know, 5 or 6 really solid contenders for match of the year. We really do. That's commendable. I can't believe they're actually pulling it off again, but they're on another banner run. And here's the thing too. this year seems fresh. It really does seem like a really nice spark. Now, again, I don't want to beat the dead horse. I am good at it, but this screamed to me. This screamed to me. The holes that were left open by an Omega, a Kushida, and the rest of the junior crew, they really fill a nice role. And these last two shows kind of make that a little bit more glaring than ever before. But here's the thing. Here's the good news. Look at all the fucking good shit we have coming up with the invasion attack, with this year's G1, with the Super Juniors.
Super J Cup.
The Super J Cup. This is going to be a fun fucking year. I can't stress that enough. It's going to be a real fun time to be a pro wrestling fan. And here's the thing too, and I don't want to get too deep into a conversation of this ilk. You got to look at this company, in the United States. That cruiserweight tournament that they're talking about, and there's a lot of scuttlebutt about Kota Ibushi sticking his feet in this tournament. It's going to be fun. And then Nakamura probably, he's definitely making his debut WrestleMania weekend at the NXT shows.
Facing Sami Zayn, which is going to be probably the best thing you'll see all weekend.
I mean, look, I obviously we're going to tune in for it. Obviously we're going to see it. I think the entire wrestling world will do that. They want to see what's going to happen here. Am I watching it a little bit skeptical in the sense that, well, this is going to be a really watered down version of Shinsuke? Yeah, I am. But hopefully they let him go. I mean, I can't imagine them allowing a lot of the stuff. Listen, you're not going to see knee strikes to the head, in a violent, fashion like he did against maybe a Tanahashi or so. But look, everybody's going to tune in. Nobody's kidding anybody. I'm not going to sit here and be like, nah, I'm not going to fucking watch it because I'm going to watch it.
Damn, of course, Mark.
you hate WWE.
Yeah, we had a question about that on Twitter, actually. One of our great listeners thought that maybe we were a bit too hostile towards the current WWE product.
I hit him back, and I said, look, I tweeted him back, and I hit him back.
Yeah, don't hit him. I don't want to get involved in a lawsuit.
But I didn't really hit him up. I just just responded like a normal human being. No, but listen, we're a New Japan podcast, so I think the spin that we have is going to be obviously more of a New Japan centric show, and I wouldn't necessarily call it hatred of the WWE. There's not much that I currently enjoy. I don't enjoy the production of their shows. I fucking despise shaky cam. I think Kevin Dunn is a maniac if he thinks this is quality programming. I think that there are plenty of holes in their storylines. And here's the thing. People are going to be like, well, you said this. You don't even fucking watch the shows. I mean, listen, I listen to the recaps and they don't make any sense. I hear everybody talking about it and it's like, wow, this is I can't believe you're watching this. But even with that said, my original point of, am I going to watch Shinsuke Nakamura debut? Absolutely.
Of course.
So my main point is this. This is going to be a wonderful, these next couple of months. Strap yourselves in, because not even from a New Japan perspective. There's a lot of great stuff out there. Kota Ibushi working some of these shows, WrestleMania weekend should be fun. Did you hear about Kota and his wants on who he wants to wrestle for?
No, actually. Who did he say?
Well, I don't know if you're familiar with Kaiju Big Battle.
Kaiju Big Battle. I cannot say I'm familiar with this gentleman. All
right. No, not gentleman. This promotion. So what this promotion is. So, and here's was my first exposure to them. So I went to a Wizard World in Philadelphia, the comic book convention.
Nerd.
I know. I got thrown in a lake and everything. The post party. I get invited to the post party because I'm pretty fancy and important. And
Did you drop any pollen?
Did you drop any pollen? The killer bees. That's so funny. A lot of inside jokes here, guys. Do you want to explain that one, Colin?
Yeah, just very briefly.
All right, real quick. Come on.
Yeah, one time back in the day, Jesse the Body was interviewing the killer bees in the ring. And I forget where they were coming from. They were on a trip somewhere. But Jesse asked them if they dropped any pollen, meaning did they get laid? Come on, that's hysterical.
That is great. Yeah, where was I? So, yeah, Wizard World, Kaiju Big Battle. So what Kaiju Big Battle is, I guess it's a wrestling promotion, Colin. And the theme is that there are these giant monsters. So these are wrestlers, and I put that in air quotes, performing in giant costumes, like monsters, like a giant, like those old 70s Japanese.
Like Godzilla.
Yeah, like Godzilla, but like even goofier, like a giant roach, you know, and they fight in the ring. And what they do is they put like little cardboard buildings in the ring to make it look like these are giant monsters fighting. Right, exactly. Silence is golden. Right. So it's highly comical, highly goofy. But that's the idea.
Boy, Kota Ibushi loves this comedy stuff, doesn't he?
He really does. Kota Ibushi is a goofy character. he really likes this goofiness. So he apparently in the past he's done some stuff for them, like interviews and, you know, like little backstagey things. But apparently he voiced a interest in. Because Kaiju always does stuff on WrestleMania weekend, and like I said, when I was there, it was fun. Don't get me wrong; it was so goofy, it was funny. You know, so you don't take this seriously, or you know, like real. I can't believe
Kaiju
it, real,
Big Battle.
Kaiju Big Battle
sounds like a Chikara wrestler.
Think of that, but like, but they're pretending they're giant monsters. Yeah, yeah.
All right then.
That's so to me, I was kind of like, oh, really? I mean, you could do just about anything in the world and you can do that. Fuck. Why? Why exactly are we not doing New Japan again? And we're still, do you remember his name of his promotion? I don't want to put you on the spot, but.
So the name of Kota Ibushi's new promotion is the Ibushi Pro Wrestling Research Institute.
Exactly. What the fuck does that mean?
Again, I'll say it again. The Ibushi Pro Wrestling Research Institute, the IPWRI.
Yeah, it flows off the tongue, doesn't it?
It does. It really does.
He's a maniac. Kota Ibushi is a wackadoo. Like Tokyo needs another, you know,
another indie promotion.
Seriously,
are they going to do like studies there? Like this sounds like almost like are they going to do like sleep studies? Like hook people up to electrodes and
sleep apnea tests. I'm sure half of these matches you're going to fall asleep just fine. Again, do you need another promotion of this? And it's going to be he said that he wanted to find a kind of invent or create a new form of pro wrestling. He had made mention that, and again, this is all online, so it's not like he picked up the phone and we had a conversation, mind you. That the style was rough. It was battering his body, working both DDT and New Japan, and he's going to come up with this idea, of what this new generation of pro wrestling will be, and he's like. Does pro wrestling need three ropes? Do we need to be in a squared circle, so to speak? So what's pro wrestling going to look like? He's like, I haven't figured that out yet, but I know I want to do something different. And on one hand, I'm kind of like, cool, dude, do whatever the fuck you want and knock yourself out and be happy and go for it. But on the other hand, it's kind of like the logic in me is just like, dude, what are you doing?
Nakamura told him that it was all on him now. The ball was in his court.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. At the end of the day, if you're not happy, you're not happy. You know, if he's not happy, being who he was or the style that he's working or the physical demand, if you're not happy, you're not happy. You know, there's
yeah, who are we to sit here and say you must stay in New Japan? You have to win the G1 this year and go on to headline Wrestle Kingdom for Wrestle Kingdom 11. Like, come on.
Yeah, I know. Really, why would anybody want to do that? But at the end of the day, if you're not happy, you're not happy. There's been plenty of times where I've had jobs where, you know, the money was great, but I'm just like, ugh, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. You know, I don't want to do this.
And that's every job, damn it.
For you, anyway. you know, then you kind of say, okay, well, what do I want to do? And you reassess. And this is obviously something that what he did, and he wasn't happy. And that's really, at the end of the day, that's what it is. So, hey, listen, hats off to Kota Ibushi.
Hats off to Kota.
Hats off to Kota. But the selfish Damon, you know, I want Wrestle Kingdom Kota and not him wrestling a giant crab. You know?
Actually, wait a second. You know, now that I think about this, Kota Ibushi versus a giant crab. This sounds pretty cool. You know what? I think I'm kind of into this.
No, I'm not. I'm okay. I think, trust me, when he's in a six-man tag you know, all the usual great indie stars are in this six-man. So it's him and it's like Will Ospreay and your boy Skrull.
Mighty Skrull.
Yeah. A couple other guys are in there. So obviously the minute I find this match, I'm dropping the money and downloading or streaming. So I think it's going to be an incredible match. But truth be told, I'm not going to watch Kota Ibushi wrestle a fucking crab or a lobster or a cockroach or whatever.
Or an eel. Electric eel. I didn't see that.
Now, if it were a real electric eel, I might watch that. That might be something I'd be interested in. But no, that shit doesn't do anything for me.
Well, regardless of what your pro wrestling persuasion is, I mean, there is going to be something for everybody coming up in early April. And Damon, you know, the next show on New Japan, well, actually, first, before I talk about the next wrestling show on New Japan World, I just want to make note that at the time we're recording this, it is Sunday evening, March 13th, and there is actually going to be a press conference to announce the Invasion Attack card early Monday morning. So before we kind of wrap things up here, I just want to briefly sort of go over what the card is likely to look like. So we're probably going to see Tomohiro Ishii defending the ROH TV title against Evil.
Right, I would think that's in the cards.
We know that we're going to see Kushida defend his IWGP Junior Heavyweight title against Will Ospreay, which is, how could that not be just a phenomenal match?
I'm telling you right now, flat out, Kushida is one of my favorite wrestlers. I don't want to say it's damn near impossible for him to have a bad match, but you know, he would have to show up drunk. And with a broken leg for this to be a bad match. So, I can't wait. That's the one match without question that I have circled. And I'm really, as you like to say, body is ready.
Yeah. That is what I like to call wrestling porn right there.
Yeah. you know it. That and apparently some random New Japan videos.
We're also probably going to see... I'm just going to gloss right over that. Katsuyori Shibata defending his never open weight title against Satoshi Kojima, which I really think is going to surprise a lot of people.
Yeah. Again, we talked about this, but this might be one of those situations where, you know, old grizzled veteran is showing, you know, one of the up and coming stars, new level stars, you know, just you know, what it's like to be a star. So I think he's going to show that he's got a lot more left in the tank, or at least one match. Should be good. I'm looking forward to this.
And theoretically, we're going to see Okada defend his IWGP Heavyweight title against the New Japan Cup 2016 winner, Tetsuya Naito. However, Damon, I just have to ask you this question. You know, we've seen the tweets from Naito kind of hinting that he wouldn't use that title for Invasion Attack. Do you think that that's possible? Do you think that they might hold this title match off?
I think they'd be silly to. Again, I'm always a fan of cash in. Do it in Invasion. Invasion Attack is, you know, a very important show. This is Sumo Hall, right? You know, this is not, you know, some farming town in the middle of northern Japan. We got to fill a building here. Do it here. You can always have the rematch. You can always book this. Again, there's plenty of different ways this can go to build interest toward a Osaka rematch, whether it's a title change that happens here or in Osaka. You know, now do it now. We got to fill a building. There's you know, get it, strike while the iron is hot. Do it now.
All righty. And then the next show that is going to air on New Japan World actually takes place on March 27th, Sunday, March 27th. So we've got a while yet until we have another New Japan show here, and that is going to be the Road to Invasion Attack taking place at Korakuen Hall. So that is the schedule for March.
That's a long gap here. I hope the WWE signs Okada. We'll have something to talk about.
Well, hey, you know, it was funny. I did read that little headline that key people in WWE just discovered that Okada is tall.
Fuck that story. I mean, seriously.
they just discovered that he's tall.
Fucking, come on. Listen, the WWE is a crock of shit sometimes, but yeah, I can't. I can't even believe that story. Unbelievable.
The headline sounds amazing, though. Come on.
Yeah. You know, it's... It's comical. I'm sure it was tongue in cheek. So, yeah. What can you say? You know, I don't think Okada is going anytime soon. But listen, I sat here and said that about Nakamura. So,
anything can happen in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Certainly can. So, fingers crossed. But I think we all know that Bushiroad is ready to sign a big check. I already know that they
5-year contract. We're talking.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be more than what they usually do. Let's put it that way. I mean, I don't have any, you know, idea what the numbers are going to be, but from everything that you're hearing and reading online and everywhere else, it's, you know, they're prepared to make a commitment, and I think they have to. You know, I think they really they know they're in a game that is the stakes have been upped. You know, they just got you know, they got pickpocketed. They literally just got pickpocketed.
They got mugged coming off the subway.
You know, but here's the thing. Listen, we talked about it a million times, and no need to talk about it again. But yeah, they know they're in a fight, and they got a big bully with a big checkbook that can write checks to solve a lot of their own woes when it comes to finding new talent.
Sounds like a presidential candidate, a big bully with a big checkbook.
Yeah, listen, there's more similarities than we all know. But look, I think Okada will be here for a long time, and I know that they're in for the long fight. So fingers crossed. I think the good things will happen.
All right, well, I think that about wraps it up for this week's edition of the New Japan Purocast. Remember, I just want to thank everyone for leaving all of your great comments on our iTunes account. You know, keep those 5-star reviews coming. Keep all the great comments coming in on Twitter. Remember, you can follow us at Purocast. You can also like us on Facebook, facebook.com/NewJapanPurocast. And if you subscribe to us directly on our personal feed, either via iTunes or Stitcher, you will get each and every brand new Purocast episode delivered to the device of your choosing, usually on late Sunday evening. Or, of course, you can always wait and listen to us on the Great Voices of Wrestling podcasting network every Monday. So before I wrap things up here, Damon, anything you would like to say?
Shockingly, no. I think we wrapped everything. Yeah, I know. I think we wrapped everything up in a nice bow. Well, I have a long week ahead of me of dubbing these tapes. A lot of pro wrestling to catch up on, and even more to watch. So, again, thanks for listening. It's great meeting you guys, and you know, maybe we'll do something similar in New York City with the next Ring of Honor show and New Japan show.
Yeah, I'm going to be in Vegas again.
Yeah, hopefully you make it.
Poor me. Well, good news is I'm not taking American Airlines. So,
all right, good for you. How about that rant we did? I had to actually people text me personally, be like, "Oh, I'm so disappointed. I didn't." Trust me, you're glad you didn't fucking hear this rant. It was, again, maybe you know when we become rich and famous, we'll release the unedited versions and the
this is like one of those things where for example
like Tupac a new Tupac song is unearthed. That's exactly
like who actually shot Kennedy. Like they're waiting for like all the people who are actually involved in that to die before they actually take it out of the vault. Kind of like what this is.
This was hate filled. It was cathartic. Is that the word I'm looking for? Cathartic?
Cathartic? Is that the word? Yeah, let's go with it.
I'm going to go with that. I felt good afterward. Maybe one day we'll have a special screening for special listeners. We'll have it like a giveaway. You know, you have to donate to a charity and we'll rent like a hall or something and we'll give you earphones and you can listen to them.
You'll have to go through a metal detector to make sure there's no recording devices hidden in your pockets.
Exactly. It's like going to a movie premiere. That would be hilarious if we actually did like an Indiegogo when we gave all the money to charity and people had to bid on it. that would be funny.
Damn it, stranger things have happened.
Stranger things have happened. So, again, good things for the PureCast, but no, again, listen to us everywhere that Colin said to listen to us, and thank you for the feedback, and it was nice meeting all of you, and we'll do it again.
All right, and on that note, for Damon McDonald, I am Colin Miller. We'll catch you guys next week right here on the New Japan PureCast.